Today's daf is daf bet, and we begin from where we left off. Taman Amri, that said there, mi Bavel, me'et la'et sha'amru. This, again, when it came to a woman who sees dam, we have to be concerned that she is already was tamer a period of time prior. We said even me'et la'et. So that, what level of tumah do we associate with that? In other words, do we treat as if she was vadai tumah? Like, how do we address it? It says, sha'amru mishkava kemaga'a. That which she sat on is like that which she touched. So in other words, it is a rish on the tumah, because normally a nida or semishkava mosha, if she sits on something, then it makes it a what? It makes it an avat tumah itself, like a zav, zava, etc. So the Gemara says umakabol nida. What is this status? Is it like a boel nida? A boel nida is a person who had a relationship with a nida, such that if einu metame beheset velo bikli cheres, that it will not metame like a beheset, means without direct contact by moving it. Such also the klei cheres, because it comes to the klei cheres, if it's samit batil, klei cheres, earthenware utensil touching or at work, you won't make a tamer that way. But if you can metame through heset, meaning just pushing it along, right, causing it to move, then you don't need maga to make it tamer, because it doesn't need direct contact for to occur, and then it could make a klei cheres tamer. That's kind of how it relates here. The way that Pnei Moshe explains it here is when the Mishnah says that Mishkava k'maga'a, is it saying it's like the Mishkav of a Bo'el Nida? Now, I'll just read it inside. He says, Kobol Nida, le'inya Mishkav Moshav shelo. In other words, just like the Mishkav Moshav of a Bo'el Nida, meaning person in relation with the Nida, he will make a Tameh. Well, he can't make an Abba Tumah, but he'll make it a Rishon the Tumah. So is it like a Bo'el Nida sitting on it? And the nafkamina for that is enumata beheset belubekli cheres, as we explained that, again, talking about the Mishkav or Moshav specifically. Hachinami, so to the Mishkav or Moshav me'et le'et, this Mishkav Moshav that the Nida sat me'et le'et, will not be able to metame, make tame Adam, and to metame begadim as well, and the other didn't, as we will be discussing. So is it like a Bo'el Nida then? So we say, no, Eshkach Tani Matane B'Kli Cheres Beheset. No. Even retroactively, Unatame also Kli Cheres Beheset. So it's not exactly like a Bo'el Nida. Fine. So I just want to read the conclusion of the Pnei Moshe to make it much more clear. It says, Kli Cheres Beheset. Now it's Klomar. B'Kli Cheres Mukafzim Mipatil, Delo Shaykh Batum Mabaga. Again, doesn't apply. Matame Beheset Kedina Zaba Vanida. Just like the Zaba Nida would move it, it would make it Tame, even though it can't come tamer through direct contact. So this is important. When it says kamaga'a, that the mishkav or moshav that she may have sat on the last 24 hours is like kamaga'a, to Kamri, doesn't mean that it's just a rishon l'tumah. Rather, it's kamaga'a atzmahi, kumoshin hanogia bineda, just like any other item that would touch a nida itself. Metamenami habagadim she'alav. Would also make tame the begadim of the person. Let's say another human being touched another person, touched a nida. It won't just make him tame, also make the clothing he's wearing tame. Kach so too mishkava moshava, the mishkava moed leet nami as well, will metame adam letame begadim, will also metame begadim. So in other words, it's not like we thought initially, oh, therefore maga'a meaning something you touch, therefore it's a rishon l'tumah. No, kamaga'a means like touch the object, the mishkav moshav is like touching the nidar itself. That's what it means. Because the Gemara says now, me'et le cha'amru maga'a b'rushus rabbi mahu. Now this is a great question, because when it comes to safek tuma, a doubt regarding tuma rushus rabbi. If you remember, this takes us all over to Masechta Sotah as being the source of it. That if there's a doubt regarding someone touching something that's a source of tuma rushus rabbi, we say that is tahor. Safek tuma rushus rabbi is tahor. Rishus Rabim is Tameh. So the question is, now we're making her Tme'ah, going back Me'ed La'et. But that's really based on a Safek. We don't know if she was really Tameh. So do we say, therefore, it's like a Safek Tum Rishus Rabim, so anything she came to contact with Rishus Rabim would be Tahor? That's kind of the question. Mara says, Nishmin Nahadok. We learn from the following. Me'uberet or Menika, Me'uberet and Menika, someone who's pregnant or she's feeding, Torot Labalehem. They're Tahor to their husbands. Okay, fine. And it says v'chol isha sheyesh la veset. In other words, we don't have to worry about anyone who's got a fixed period. We have to worry about tuma l'mafreya. That's not a problem. Okay. And tola balahem, just to make clear, but the Pnei Moshe says even without bedika, she doesn't need a check to make sure she's Torah. The consumption is she's what's called a mesuleka bedamim. She's not seeing any dam at that time because she's pregnant or she's feeding at the time. Also, if she's got a fixed period, also she's Torah Labala. The Shar Kol Nashim comes to other women. It says Torot Bebia, meaning if they had a relation with a husband, we'd say Torot Bebia, meaning there wasn't a gzeira in terms of Rashi says Labalem lo gazru kol zman shelo ra'u, meaning they don't make she's in other words, if she didn't see dam, she's mutar to her husband. That's what Pnei Moshe says. Sorry, or Matamo Bemaga, meaning. Metamam ba'agah means it makes metamim me'ed la'et, meaning if she does see blood, going back 24 hours, anything she touched would be tameya. Now it's quite clear it doesn't differentiate between where she touched the items. So therefore, hada amra, that's what it says, vada'a, vada'i maga'a b'rishus ha'rabim tameya. So we see therefore that when you say safik tumah b'rishus ha'rabim, the nature of the safik is whether she came into contact with a tumah at all. In this situation, she's vada'i naga. We know for certain that she touched it, but the question is, we treat it as being tamei going back 24 hours. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a classic case of safek tumah rishus harabim, because the safek tumah rishus harabim is regarding suffer regarding contact. Here we have vade contact, so that would be tamei. To make it clear, the Pnei Moshe says as follows: da metamot b'magas da mektani. It just says tamei. Vein kandin safik tumah rishus harabim. That doesn't fall into the normal banner safik tumah rishus harabim. Dul amru taru ela b'safik naga, safik lo naga. The whole safik tumah rishus harabim is where there's a doubt whether the person came into contact with the source of tumah, the object came into contact with the source of tumah or not. Aval hacha kivan de vaday naga. We know the woman handled this item in rishus harabim. B'chol makom she naga metame tumah me'edlet. Therefore, she's tumah safik the tol in him. Then we said we treat going retroactively, as we said, she's tme'ah, even though it's a case of safek, but the safek doesn't make a tahor. The safek just makes it a tol in the velos sorfim, as we said. We don't burn it, but we can't, we have to treat it as being tme'ah. Okay, yeah, fair. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yudan Bayim badka chalukah b'shachris. Let's just she checked her clothing, say her underwear, or matzah tohura and found it was tohura. Umincha, she finds a ketam, a stain. Okay, now it's different with ketamim. Ketamim, we seem to be at least so far a few times, it seems to be a bit more machmir by them. So we say pshita, clearly the chalukah einot me'a ela ad shat bedika. The way it comes to since you checked the garment, okay, and you knew it was clean, therefore the tme'a, the garment, if it came to contact with anything up until the zman bedika, we say okay, that's that the zman bedika works to. Say that it was tar up until that point. Fine. However, gufa mahu, what about her? Do we still say for her now we're metame le'et? Does the ketem help? Does the checking the baggage, she didn't check herself. Before we said checking herself is mama'et me'et le'et. And if she did a proper bedikah of herself, that should only be like if you like tmei going back up until that bedikah. But here she didn't check herself; it was the clothing she was wearing. So do we say here that's sufficient for a bedikah, or do we still say no? She didn't check herself; still we got matama me'ed la'et. That's the question of the Gemara. The Gemara says, one second, what are you talking about? Klumat matama gufa ela machmat chalukah. The only reason why we're treating her as a bitmea is because of the chaluk. She hasn't seen dam; it's based on the ketem. So therefore, chalukain matame ela ad shapitika. So if the ketem we're saying is only going to make the chalukah tmeah up until the shapitika, which was that morning, the gufa tmeah medleh, you want to say now that the guf her body should be tmeah even a longer period? That's ridiculous. Because the only reason why we're making tmeah is because of the chalukah. She hasn't seen proper dam. It was only a ketem, meaning she didn't have the hargasha. She didn't have the feeling that she was having a period. It was just a stain. That's really the point. So if you're metame because of the ketem, you can't be more machmir than the din by the beggar of which the ketem is based. Okay, let's continue. We said if a woman has they did inspections before and after relations, then that's sufficient to be considered a check that's mema'ed, as we said, that's me'ed le'et, meaning if she had relations, she inspected before after. We don't say 24 hours. We say go back to that time she last checked. So this is Heichi Avid, what's the case? Bad ka'atzma shachrit, she did that bedika on shachrit, v'shimsha be'ed b'chatzot, and she had relations at chatzot, v'ra'ata mincha, and then saw mincha. How far back do we make her tme'ah? Anyway, Ella shat tashmish, meaning that lunchtime is how far we make your tame, not to the sharp proper bedik, let's say, in the morning. So the Gemara says, in other words, that bedik by tashmish is sufficient. So Levi Amar, that's be'edj l'sha'achar tashmish. If you remember, there were two edim, so these are pieces of cloth that she used to inspect to make sure she is whether she's Torah. So which bedik are we talking about is a good one? So it's how far back we go. Is it the one before tashmish or achar tashmish? The first opinion, which is kind of like we said before, we said that's one la achar tashmish. That's when she is more relaxed, if you like. She can do, it's proper to check. Manita aval be'edj lifnei tashmish, if it's before, yafeh. She'd be up here a little bit hurried in that context, so we didn't assume it was a good enough bedika to mema'et. Okay. However, Rabbi Avon says the opposite. Absolutely not. So B'Shem Rabbi Amin says, Be'edj lifnei tashmish. He says, that's the one the Mishnah is talking about. Here, Manita. Avo Be'edj shel achara tashmish, the one achara tashmish, that's going to be a problem. Why? Because we're scared the dihagi. It's not as good as checking, not because of timing or concentration or focus, but rather, machmat shifchat zera. We're concerned that maybe some of the shifchat zera, the semen came out and maybe it covered the any spotting of blood or anything there is. So therefore, it's which is the so-called good bedikah of which we can mema'et. It's the one before tashmish. That's a machloket. The machloket is it the one after because the one before she's a little bit maybe preoccupied, or is it the one that's dafka before is good because that's going to give her a proper clean bedikah because the one after it might be a bit interrupted by shichvat zera. All right, let's continue. It's now halacha bet. Ketzad dayasha'ata. So this is a case of Dayashata. We said Kol Isha Sheyesh La Veset, if she has a fixed period, then she doesn't have to worry about going back 24 hours. When she's sore is when we're concerned. From that point onward, she's Tamea. So Hayta Yoshevet B'Mita, let's say you're sitting on a bed or a bench. For Seker B'Tarot, you're dealing with Tarot. And Upirsha, and she gets up and she's done. Hit Tamea V'Kulam Tarot. She's Tamea, but all the Tarot she was dealing with were completely Tarot. Full stop. Okay. In other words, that's what it means literally. It could have been moments later that she saw Tmei'ah. If you're saying Dayasha'ata, it means from that point onwards going back no time. Mana says,
Meaning,
Af
because she
pi
was expecting them.
No, I think that the assumption was that, presumably. Meaning, it can't be that it was at the Zman Oina, the time she was meant to see, right? That she was dealing with the Tarot, I assume. Okay? Yeah, I think it is because otherwise, then that's the time she meant to see. So then, really problematic, I assume. Okay, let's
How?
continue. Alpha Pisha. Sorry, you want to say?
Just how specific are we getting in the time? Like, is it morning, afternoon, or is it 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock?
Yeah, it's interesting in terms of how you get a what's called a Vesa Kavua. What's it based on? What types of Vestal there can be? For example, there are Vestot that are based on timing, and usually it's by what's called the Oina, meaning a 12-hour period, day or night. But there are other Vestot that are you can have what's called a Vesa Taguf, like a bodily sensation or something, or a not a bodily sensation, sorry, more a like a she knows if she's kofetzet, if she does, I don't know, a heavy workout, she knows that brings it on. That could be another. If it's again, it has to be established three times that this is mamash a 100% cause. So it could be, and it like, it depends what we're talking about. In terms of what's considered kviyut veset, it depends. Okay, let's continue. I think Mishnah has to sort of talk about. I'm not sure if we'll cover it in Yerushalmi, but we'll continue anyway. That says Alpha Bisha Amru, meaning even though we say she's metameh, if a woman that doesn't have a veset, when does she start counting her days of nida? Because remember, for days of nida, she needs 7 days before she can become Torah. You don't go back 24 hours from then. That's just a chashash. You start counting from the time she actually saw. There are four women that are considered musulekat damin. There is a woman that we say dan shatan. We don't have to walk 24 hours. She's not in the muhsak to see dam. And therefore, she happens to see dam. It's from that point onwards and not because of going backwards. What are these? Is a betula, a girl. Importantly, even a betula means virgin. You'll see later on, it means a woman who's never seen. Well, that's an ex-missioner, really, but never had a period. Uberet, a woman who's pregnant, because generally she's musulekat dam. And then uminikam, which is feeding, and a zkena, a woman who is old. Okay? Again, the Mishnah will discuss all these cases. But let's continue. Amar lo shamati, only heard the case of betula. Aval nonetheless, halachic Rabbi Eliezer. So this is interesting. In other words, even though his tradition was only one case, halachic is nonetheless like Rabbi Eliezer. So Nagmaran says, Amri b'Yeshua, lo shamati ele betula aval halacha k'Rebbi Eliezer. So, ein omrim, in other words, ein omrim mi shelo ra'ayt el avane yavol ve'id, el omrim mi shera'ayt el avane yavol ve'id. Alato shamata, ani shamati. The fact that ani lo shamati isn't a proof that it's to exclusion of all others. The example is when it comes to Eidot HaChodesh, you don't say, okay, anyone who hasn't seen the moon come to us. No, you can't have Eidos to the negative. Just because you didn't hear doesn't mean it's not, unless you heard explicitly that it's not those cases, but he just didn't hear those cases. So the fact that he didn't hear it, so you didn't hear those cases, but I heard it was four cases, so therefore it seems to be, it's not a proof against me. Okay, so meaning Rebbe Eliezer. So, Koyo Mimshei Rebbe Eliezer Kayam, all time the Rebbe Eliezer was alive, Haita Halacha was like Rebbe Yeshua, the only ones who were Dayashata was a Betula. Mishemet Rebbe Eliezer, Inig Rebbe Yeshua Halacha Rebbe Eliezer, after he died, then Rebbe Yeshua was Noheg like Rebbe Eliezer, meaning of all these other four cases. The Gemara doesn't really understand, it scratches his head. Man, okay, what's the case? If Rabbi Yez had a tradition from the one Rav, and Rabbi Yeshua Mipishnaim had a tradition from Rabim, Yachid and Rabim halacha k'Rabim. No, bein b'chayim bein lacharmita that halacha shulam like Rabbi Yeshua. If Rabbi Yeshua only had a tradition from one person, and Rabbi Yez had a Mipishnaim from a Rabim, then bein chayim bein lacharmita, it shouldn't matter when Rabbi Yez was alive or not. Halacha shulam Rabbi Yez. What happened? Why did it suddenly change as a result of Rabbi Yez dying? Ironically, when he died, halacha ended up following it. So Kahada Datani, as it says, Mer Shamati Mipi Shnaim. Sorry, as it says, someone who says, I heard from Shnaim, from two, from Rabim. Then two people say, we only heard from one, or Mishbiachad. In that situation, Yachid Rabim Halachik Rabim, meaning Rabim based on tradition. So Yafei Koach, the Chad that heard from Rabim, Halacha would be like him. Shema Mipi Shnaim, Mikoach, this even better, Koach, the two people there that heard from only one Rab. Right? Mipi Achad. Elekena and Kami, so therefore, what's the case? The case must be elek b'shabim, that they both heard from either yachidim or both from equal amounts. In other words, there was no swaying of yachid and rabbi in this situation, the machlok, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. They either heard each from one or each from two. B'chayav, in the lifetime of Rabbi Eliezer, lo ra'adato, that he, in other words, since it was a deadlock, He didn't associate or understand or follow the position of Rebbe Eliezer. So there's no reason to bask him like him. Halacha like Rebbe Yeshua. However, lachar mitato, then eventually came around to the position of Rebbe Eliezer. Macha mitmem b'sharta. How do you know that was the case? Kada detanis, it says arba nashim shamru chachamim dayan shatam. There are four women who we say dayan shatam. However, kitman the ketem a stain, as we saw here, as a bit more machmir, is matame lamafreya. Goes back. Now, Ketim is really only driven by the Rabbanan, as you call it, because the Nidoraisa, she has Hagashe, she has Rivia, Ri'ia, this was just a stain. Nonetheless, they are Matamla Freya, except for Chutz Mitinoket Shuli Azmana, a young girl who's never seen done before, Zmali Rot, Neisha Einla Ketamim, because according to Rabbi Meir, there's no din of Gzer of Ketamim Bichlal. I mean, if she happens to see a Ketim, we say, no, it's nothing, okay? Because she's never had a period before. These, again, same type of thing, that the four Nashim Dayatam, when it comes to the Ketamim, the Mumachmer, it's Matamela Mafreya, aval Tinoket, Shigiyaz Manan Lirot, about a Tinoket who's reached her time of seeing, Kitma Kiriyata, the Ketim is like Riyah, meaning Zmana, importantly. She may not have seen yet, but Zmana Lirot. The Kitma Umar Riyah Dayashata, Ab Kitma Dayashata, meaning, but however, just as her re'ia is only de'ashata because she's a young girl. Af kitma also the ketim and de'ashata. So the machloket there, importantly, is whether you say by a young girl, if you hold any significance to the ketim. Okay, seems to be Reb Meir says you hold no significance whatsoever, and according to Rebbe the Chachamim, they say well it's de'ashata at least. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yana explains why is that the case. Sirfa Matsui. Now, Sirfa Matsui means she's already at the time where she would possibly be seeing. That's why we're Machamir. Sirfa Matsui. The Moshe says, Kolomar, Lahachi Itzrich Lashmen and Dafilu Betinoket Shigiaz Mani Rot. Vahava, I would have thought Mibne Shizra Matsui Nachmir. I would have thought we should even be more Machmir, Bikitma. De Machazia, Vulavadate. Maybe you should think she maybe saw and she didn't know about it. And therefore, matame medleet kamash malan that it's still enough. Mazeh shir sirpa matzui atamar dayasha. So before that, nonetheless, we say that it's only dayasha ata. So again, because in other words, the tzricha according to Moshe explained just to sharpen it a bit more different to what I explained it before, is that since chizhigiyazmana, it's a time we should normally see, you might think we should be machmir to say me'et la'et. No, it's still dayashata sufficient. Okay? It says, Oma im zeshem sirfa matsui, sirpa. Just as this one, meaning the betula, sirpa matsui, atomer, you still nonetheless say dayashata. Elo she'ein sirpa matsui, those that are, meaning the four women, the as we said, not just the young girl, but the old lady, the meneket, the mu'uberet, the one who's feeding, the one who's pregnant, the ein sirpa matsui, that they're mamash musluket damim, lo kol sheken kavachomer, that they should all be considered also dayasha'ata. So mikan shara'a dato, so you see quite clearly see from here that he was chozer, if you like, and saw the position of Reb Eliezer. Because once again, if he's by a sirpa matsui, a young betula, we're saying that, oh, dayash ata in that situation, well, kal vachomer for that's sirpa matsui, meaning betula, that's giyazman alirot, as explained to us before. So kal vachomer when it comes to these women that are mamash betula kadami bichlal, kal vachomer should be dayata shata. Okay, yafe. Marna says, Yisalach gimel, ezul betula. What is this betula referring to? It doesn't literally mean a virgin, it means kosher, right time, she's never seen or had a period. Even if she got married. So a mu'uberet, what's a mu'uberet? Mishiyoda ubara. That's from the time when ubar is recognizable, meaning it's gone 3 months. So not from the moment of like conception. Menika, that's mishitigmol et bana, meaning she. How long do we say some a woman who's feeding is damim? The first explanation is well, 24 months. Now, what happens if meaning the whole time she's still really feeding? However, not until she's gumet, meaning she's weaned the child off. Na banala ugmalato omet. What happens if, however, the baby was given over to someone else to feed, or the child died? Rabbi Meir says metameh me'ed la'ed. She's metameh me'ed la'ed straight away. Okay, because and Chachamim, however, says no, still dayasha'ata. Now the question is why? What's the debate between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim? According to Rabbi Meir, it's a process of feeding that makes him a Masulek Adamim. So if she's not no longer feeding, then all this is like like every other woman, therefore Matame Me'et La'et. She's no longer Masulek Adamim. According to Chachamim says, no, the process of pregnancy and giving birth, that's what makes her a Masulek Adamim, right? In other words, whether she's feeding or not. So it's post-pregnancy that puts her in that situation. That's why she's Masulek Adamim even for, as it says, even for 24 months. Okay, unless of course she breaks that chazaka. Okay, let's continue. Ezil betula. Mara says, "Keni matnita kol shelo ra'atam nida miyameh." She's never seen damina. Afal pishnuz, even if she ends up being married. Betula. So betula ledamim amru, aval lo betula lebetulin. So the betula mentioned in our Mishnayos is referring to not a woman who's never had relations before, but a woman who is mesulekat damim, that's never had dam, seen dam. Now, pamim. Shehi betula ladami and ve'enu betula betulim. Or perhaps she betula lebetulim ve'enu betula ladami. You can have sometimes a betula for one or not the other. How so? Betula ladamim b'shera ava chachanisech. Betula ladamim is that she saw dam like most women before they got married. That's betula le for this for I think she's literally a virgin, but no longer betula for these laws. However, betula lebetulim b'niset b'chakachrata. How can you have betula lebetulim and not Betula Ladam for this case, that is if she ends up getting married before she ends up having seen her period. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Tani, Shosha Betula, there's the term Betula is used in three contexts. One is for an Adam, for a human being, like a woman. One is Betula Lashikma and Betula Ta'aretz. Betula Shikma, if you're a sycamore tree before they chop the wood, they would actually condition this tree, they cut off the branch in the early stage to try and encourage growth of like beam-like branches, thick branches. So betulat shikma is prior to that interaction or that culturing, however, or grooming. Or betulat haaretz is talking about virgin soil. So betulat adam kol sheni ba'amimah. What's betulat adam? She's never had relations before. Betulat shikma, that's kol sheni ketzamimah. It's never had the branches cut from it. That's betulat shikma, like I explained. Betulat haaretz is kol shelo nechratz ba'amimah. That's it lands soil that's never had a charetz, had a ditch being dug out of it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel kol she'ein ba'charetz, that it's visibly doesn't have a charetz. That's what virgin soil is. And the nafgamina for all this is for mekach u'memkar, for the last two, right? If I want to buy from you, betula shikma, I want to buy from you a karka that's betula, virgin soil. Okay, that's we have to know what the definition is. It says afilu niset, afilu ibrav, afilu minika. So you've got a woman, even if okay, we've got a woman who has never seen dam. Even if she's married, even if she was pregnant, even if she's feeding, even if she's shofat kol shiva lezachar. Shofat kol shiva lezachar, importantly, that means after pregnancy there can be dam that comes out. That's considered dam later, the understanding. Kol zachar, we say the kol abasa, all the 4 to 14 days after nekeva, any dam prior to that time is dam tmeach, is tmeach. During that time, that should still retain the status of being a betula for damim, importantly. So, as in, it's like a damim. Okay, interestingly. The Gemara says, the kisma beyadea. Now, kisma beyadea is there some sort of magic at play? Now, it's interesting to understand what even the question of the Gemara is. And it's the play Moshe has an interesting take. It says, I'll show you here. He says, "Demashma." So in other words, if she has a boy, she will shofat 7 days, and if she's a nekeva, she'll shofat, means she'll bleed for the 14 days. And the Gemara is, "How did the biada she knows she'll have this? You know, the dam later know that she's having a zachar nekeva?" Which is a funny type of question. But the I'll show you here in the back. I don't really fully understand what the Pnei Moshe is. Having me according to Pnei Moshe, but I show in the back here in the Yalkut Mefarshim, it quotes the Gilgun Ephraim. It says it seems to be that the Gemara is saying if she will bleed 7 days straight or 14 days straight. So the Gemara is saying in nearly Hapirush Po Sheparich Echitachen, how's it possible she would survive? Tamut, she would die. So it's in other words, what type of ksamin is it? You know what I mean? Is she some sort of magic of some sort in order to survive that long with bleeding? The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean all 7 days or all 14 days, but rather it means b'sha'ashi zachar shival b'sha'ashi nekevah. Even if she bleeds within that 7 day period or the 8 day or the 14 day period after childbirth, she will retain the status of being a betula. Okay, fine. For these laws of Nida, as we say in Day HaShata. So the Gemara says, v'hiv shivsika dam tohar. Now, hiv shivsika dam tohar is, there's two ways to explain this. Pnei Moshe explains it one way. And he explains it as being breaking after the dam tohar until after that time period. Because to explain, after a woman gives birth, for a boy, the first 7 days is dam tmeah, and after 33 days after, any blood that comes out is considered dam tahor. Okay, it doesn't make a tmeah. She can become tahor, but she has to wait to the end of that period and bring a korban after the 40 days in order to then be able to from korbanot. If she gives birth to a boy, it's 14 plus another 64, 66 after that, so 80 days altogether. That's dam tohar. What the however, again, I don't fully understand according to Pnei Moshe, but the Ribbaz here explains it here that that in order to retain her status of being a betula, she can't see blood even during that time of the dam tohar. Okay, that's what it's saying. I read inside. It says, shofat az nida. It's not considered dam nida. The chashiva dain, she's still considered betula because any blood that she saw there is considered mishum the dam nida lechud the dam later lechud because it's considered there's dam nida and there's dam later. Okay, the blood that was there was a result of childbirth, not regarding a normal nida blood. Okay, however, masha enken, if she starts seeing dam ezu pa'amim lachar shiva dam tahara, as we say as kishitira achar kach neshav, therefore will be that if she ends up seeing dam after the 40, 80 days, that won't be considered a Riyah Rishonah. So to explain, this is a bit of a tricky sugya, so I'll explain again according to Ridbaz. Ridbaz is saying that the Gemara, in other words, we're just saying you can have a potential girl who's never seen dam, and she can retain a status of Betula to have the advantage. What's the advantage of a Betula? That if she sees dam only, it's dayashata. We don't go metlet. Okay? And that could be even if she got married, even if she had relations, even if she had a child, and even if she saw dam after childbirth, she can, that's considered dam later, it's not considered dam nida, and then she can retain her status of being a betula for the purposes of this. Okay? However, what the Ridbaz is saying now, that's provided she doesn't see dam during the dam tohar period. Even though she's not tmeah, that would be considered a first sighting of dam, such that if she sees dam after the 40-80, then it will be meatlet now. She's not considered betula anymore. That's what we're saying. So now, the Gemara is going to explain it further in detail now. Why? Kada the Tanit says Hifsika Dam Tohar. There's a woman who was Hifsika Dam Tohar that didn't see Dam for the entire time of Dam Tohar. And therefore, and it says, Velora, she didn't see Dam at all. And she saw Dam after. And I said, you know what's Dayashata? Because she was because she built a chazaka 3 times not seeing Dam, even during this Dam Tohar period. That creator of Ksinim must look at Dam in Dayashata. So you see that it had to be, we can't count the blood in, even though it's Tahor blood during that, the 40-80 time, as being as not blood at all. It is Dam. So therefore, if this so-called Betula sees a Dam Tohar, according to Ridbaz, it's considered like a first signing of blood, even though she's not Tmeah. And therefore, she's not considered Betula anymore if she sees Dam after the 40-80. Okay. Now, that's the Rav, the Havi Amar Mayan Echad, who. That makes a lot of sense. Nicha. Now, the interesting discussion here is it goes into a further debate regarding what is the status of this Dam Tahor or Tohar. Is it different blood or is it the same blood just has a different halachic status? So, according to Rav, this makes a lot of sense. If he says it's Mayan Echad, it comes from the same source, that the Torah makes a Tahor. Therefore, it makes a lot of sense. Because this blood is still coming from the same source as Dam Nida, and therefore she loses status as a Betula if she saw Dam Tahor during that period. However, Aldat Rabbi Yana, it also makes sense. He also says it comes from one source, Mayan Echad, who, Elashimishtaneh. It just happens to, even if it comes from one source, it's the blood kind of changes. Also, Yehud also makes a lot of sense. Because again, in order to retain the fact that she is a Betula, she can't see any blood coming from that Makor. Ah, the blood she saw after the first in the first 7 14 days. That's a different Dam later. But if she sees any Dam again during the Dam Tahor period, since it's from the same Makor, she would lose her status as being a Betula for the purposes of Nida, of the Dam Nida. That makes a lot of sense if it's the same Makor. However, Aldata the Levi, who says the Hu Amar Shnei Mayanoten, according to Levi, who says they're two different, I mean Dam Tahor and Dam Tameh are two different sources. They come from different places, let's call it. Mayano is like springs. And Afilo, why does she have to mafsik? Because the Dam Tahor she would see is coming from a different source altogether. So why should it break her status as a Betula? If you're saying coming from a different source, she's never that, why then it's she's never she would have never ever seen Dam from the Tameh source. So why should she lose her status as a Betula? That's the way Ridbaz explains the sugya. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mana, time to Levi. I'll explain Levi as follows. We'll probably come back to Levi anyway next year. In other words, the concern is that since she's mitragel, since she is used to seeing Dam Tahor, she might confuse him when she sees Dam Tameh and assume it's Dam Tahor. So therefore, we say that we don't want that confusion, and therefore the Dam Tahor we will treat her as being as in this, even if it's a different Mayan, we're machmir in that sense. So therefore, she has to mamash not see Dam during that entire, if you like, during a period of Dam Tahor, either to be say another woman to be considered melusalekat damim, or for this Betula to retain a status of being a Betula. Okay, I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe. It says, now, this again writes Pnei Moshe talking about mamash between the Tahor and Dam Tameh. That's a different malachasugya. However, the reason is still the same. Since she's so accustomed to Dam Torim, Mei Torah, Ikal means the reason to make exer, she wanted to discern between the two. So therefore, there's what to make exer about. She'd have to mamash mafsik, whatever mafsik means, Pnei Moshe versus Ridbaz, in order for that, in order to retain her dayashata or to become a dayashata. Okay, said it. Koto, we will continue from here next. Shira Mitzvah.